Children, I have some exciting news.
You are fake news.
Hello, Adelaide.
Triple M's ruined it for breakfast.
Overnight news.
Rue, just talking about the doctors a moment ago. Do you know, I was thinking in my entire life, this isn't just recent, but I can remember years and years and years ago, how long do you wait when you're sitting in a doctor's surgery, when you're sitting in the waiting room? Like, they've been busy forever, haven't they? It's not a new phenomenon.
Yeah, but is that because they book them in and rack and pack them and stack them to make more money?
Yeah, maybe, but you could help the whole system by just having more doctors and not rack and pack them and stack them.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been lucky.
Your appointment's at 12 o'clock. Sometimes you sit there and you go, it's about 1:15. Oh, they've called me in. Fantastic, yeah.
Yeah, I suppose. There's been a shortage for a long time, though, hasn't there, now?
Yeah, yeah.
It just seems like a simple answer to train more and...
Churn more through university.
Yes.
Well, the uni would like it because they're earning money out of it if they have more students.
Why aren't we doing it?
Don't know.
Have we not got enough smart people to do it?
Let's find out. We know a couple of doctors. Let's make some calls this morning.
Yeah, I will.
Find out more.
And you know what? Going to the country is absolutely brilliant. Doctors love going to the country. It's a great place. Look, you get teachers there. You get cops there. You get heaps of people moving to the bush and have fantastic lives. So I'm not sure it's moving to the country that's the obstacle.
Actually, we've got a nephew in our family who is about to be, he's being sent to the country. He got the Barossa Valley. How good's that?
Oh, win. Exactly.
How good?
You are welcomed with open arms to country towns. You get everything, especially when you're the doc.
Join the footy side.
Oh, yeah.
Do all that.
Yeah. Bloody oath. Free beers on the bar.
Yeah.
That's right. So, yeah, we'll talk about that later, but it's an interesting one.
Yeah. A man who's courted controversy over the past 7 days in this town is an MP called Dan Cregan. The Liberal Party aren't happy with this bloke at all because he defected. Yeah, and I'm sure you've all read about it. And he's ended up being the Speaker. And the Liberal Party, I don't get too involved in politics, but they're saying, oh, this was all happening behind the scenes and, you know, Labor, you recruited him, you deliberately did a deal with him. And anyway, his pay went up $150,000 to be the Speaker. And you might have seen
Biggest dog act of all time.
He's been called everything. Anyway, over the weekend, it says, he said, I would have done it for a can of baked beans.
I truly am doing this job for a can of beans, and that is my commitment to my community, that I'm putting them first. The boost in salary will be donated to my community.
Now, he's actually come out and said he is donating the $150,000 pay rise. And, for example, there's one group in the hills he's named. They're the listening dogs. They're like
the
guide
lions
dogs.
And all sorts of different ones.
I mean, he's put his money where his mouth is. What a gesture. And, Roo, can I tell you,
it's
only my
interesting to see how long it lasts and if it does happen.
What do you mean?
No, I'm just saying it'll be. There's not many people
who
do that.
Said it publicly, so it'd be ordinary if you went back on his word. Although he did that when he joined the Liberal Party.
Someone's already called him a dog. Done the biggest dog act of all time.
Well, now he's donating to the dogs. All right.
Two wrongs make a right.
That's right. I'm only one person. I've had dealings with him. He is the most impressive bloke you've ever come across. Seriously,
he is.
And a few months ago, he actually was going to get out of politics, and people rallied around him and said, please don't leave. This fella's good value, and he's clearly got some strong beliefs, which there's nothing wrong with that. And what he said, Roo, was that he thought he could do more for the Adelaide Hills people on his own than he could as a Liberal because he didn't believe the Liberals were doing the right thing. But anyway, that's getting a bit political. Yeah. I rate him. He's a very, very impressive fella.
We'll wait and see. Certainly not too many people donating that amount of money to charity every year.
No. What about this bloke in the UK, Roo? This is a man after our own heart. He's broken the record. He's visited 51 pubs in 9 hours. And he's still standing to tell the story. That's a pub crawl. Matt Ellis is his name. However, his heart wasn't in it. He had 4 pints of beer total throughout the whole 51 pubs.
No, that doesn't count.
That doesn't count.
No.
How did he even make the news?
So he just had a little sip along the way. He said, if I had 51 pints, I wouldn't have been able to stand up.
How did he make the news for that?
Well, it's a record.
He sit at one pub and have five?
He spent 4 minutes in every pub. He went through 51 pubs in 9 hours. So there you go.
All right.
It was a Clayton's pub crawl, wasn't it?
Still hadn't got you covered, Dits.
No.
Miles in front.
No.
Every pub in the state.
617 pubs we went to.
In how long?
2 years. We were like snails crawling along, but we got there. We got there eventually, Bruce Abernathy and I.
You're both still married after that?
That's debatable.
Yeah.
Loz, good morning.
Good morning, guys. I was away yesterday. I wasn't feeling very well, and I was sick this weekend.
The old Monday sickie. Mm. Anyway.
We don't take sickies at Triple M.
You don't?
No.
Oh, okay. Just really long holidays.
You have to be dying.
Just really long holidays. Good comeback.
Yeah. All right. She got us. Righto. What else did you want to say?
So I...
We only have a few weeks.
I got Uber Eats because I didn't want to cook. I didn't want to get out of bed, do anything. And I'm a huge fan of the Uber service in general. I get Ubers all the time because I live just in Unley, so it's close to the city. So Ubers are great.
So that's the reason you do it, because you're close to the city.
Yeah. What do you mean?
Well, is it different if you're further out, is it?
Well, it's a lot of money if you could drive. Do you know what I mean? Like it's
Uber Eats is to drive and get it.
The reason why I do Uber Eats is because I was sick. But the reason why I get Ubers is because I live close to the city.
Oh, Ubers, yeah.
It doesn't cost
but
much.
But Uber Eats is no different if you're further
yeah,
out.
Yeah, nah. $5 charge. All good. I like that the cars are always so nice when you get in the Ubers. They're always really clean and nice and everything. They're very fancy cars.
Yep.
It's a beautiful service. Everyone does a great job. I do find that the Uber Eats requirements for the vehicle the bar
not quite
is
at the same level.
No, the bar is lower.
Drops away a bit.
It does drop away. And normally, you know, normally the car, it's roadworthy sort of thing. But yesterday I ordered I ordered a burrito and, you know, on the app it said a white car. So I was standing out the front waiting for a white car. And I hear this backfire. Sort of goes around the roundabout near my house.
Running on burritos.
Yeah. On Chipotle dressing. And he pulls up out the front and he gives me my Uber. And I just think.
What was it? Just an old bomb?
It was a 1996 Commodore station wagon.
Right.
And it was just the
probably
kind
of a collector's item.
Probably a collector's item.
Should be in a showroom, not delivering burritos.
Well, if you pull it, yeah, I don't know if showroom.
Just a little question in my little head. What does it cost to get burritos to your house?
So this...
For one feed for one person.
Yeah, it's extortion. So the burrito is like $17 and then you've got the $5.
So you paid $22. Is this for lunch?
For a burrito.
But I also got a Pepsi Max, so that was $5.75.
So you've got $27 for lunch.
Yeah, but that was like, I cut it in
then
half.
Then you
win,
you can't buy a house.
What? Are you trying to boomer me?
I just don't get how people do that.
Mate, not all of us were in the Camry Crows.
What's that got to do with it?
Deals for life here, there and everywhere.
You don't get free
Uber Eats.
I'm sure you could if you wanted to.
I actually can't.
I'm impressed that you know it's a 96 Commodore.
No, my friend.
You know your cars.
Steve.
Loz was telling us just moments ago about her Uber Eats experience yesterday. Mm. We've just been reminded of Brendan Favola's habits. Mm. You're chasing him. You're nearly up to breaking his record. What did he spend in a year?
He spent $35,000 in 18 months.
Yeah, on Uber Eats.
As much as I love Fev, I wouldn't use Fev as a role model for too much. He's a great fella. He's a lot of fun. He was a terrific footballer for a while. But probably does a few things a little bit wrong.
Just financially or in...
Financially,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
He's a great fella. He's funny as all hell.
Well, I get that. I'm bad with money. I feel like I've got a lot in common with Fev.
Well, he's
don't marry him, for God's sake. Two wrongs don't make a right.
One example of Fev is when he discovered he had a bit of a gambling issue. So he stopped gambling. And then they said, what did you do this morning? He said, I just went down and played the pokies. He said, that's not gambling. And someone had to explain to him that actually
right.
it is.
Okay, yeah.
But he didn't have a problem with it.
He said, I'm not backing horses. He said, I'm just playing poker. So anyway.
Good old Fev.
They got to the bottom of it. This is an amazing story, and certainly for anyone listening that has had a child, had a baby, and come back and try to compete in sport, we're talking about our best ever marathon runner here, Jess Stenson. Now, many know her as Jess Trengoveru and Loz, but how's this? Has gone away and had little Billy, who Billy's nearly 2 years of age now, has come back to run a marathon and run her fastest ever time.
PB.
In fact, it's
amazing.
The fourth fastest ever by an Australian woman. Jess Stenson, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you.
My God, what
Super
a run.
Mum.
Hey, that's incredible.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty happy. It's been a long time coming, that marathon, and It was really special to be out there on Sunday.
I just did the sums on it. You ran 2 hours and 25 minutes. Divide that by 42. Every K you ran was 3 minutes and 38. I don't reckon me or Ditz could run 1K at that anymore.
That's flying.
That is flying.
Yeah, no, it was, I've been training for a marathon for a long time. The marathon's just been constantly changing. Initially, it was one in Hamburg last April to try and qualify for the Tokyo Olympics, and then that was cancelled and the Olympics were postponed. So then I set my sights on a marathon in Sydney this year in April, and I got injured, so focused on the Gold Coast Marathon, which was cancelled at the last minute, and then Melbourne, which was postponed. So finally, we got to a start line, and I felt no pressure. I felt mentally strong because I just had been hanging out for that moment for so long. So I just had to hope that my legs would hold my body up in those final kilometres. There was a bit of a steep hill over a bridge at the 41K mark, so that one wasn't fun.
Jess, a few months ago, Roo and I commented on this very show. We saw you out training and you were pushing the pram along. You were going for runs with little Billy in the pram, and we made the comment it'd be the only pram in the world that had to get retreads, I reckon.
Retreads? It didn't need race wheels.
Not retreads. That pram would have done quite a few Ks, I take it. How difficult is it running
one
with a pram?
One lady owner was a bit of misleading.
Yeah, one lady owner's 800,000 Ks.
Yeah, I actually, it's a great running pram, the Tool brand, but I found it really awkward, so I didn't actually continue running with the pram for too long because I could see myself doing an injury. I, obviously not being able to use your arms, it's a pretty unfamiliar movement.
Question, Jess, like when you're pregnant, how far into your pregnancy did you run and then when did you stop? And then how long after? G'day, Billy.
Hey, Billy. Oh, how are you, mate?
Good morning, Bill. Mum's... Oh, there you go. Beautiful. When did you start running after you gave birth? Like, when can you stop? When do you have to stop and start? And what's safe and healthy for mums out there listening?
Yeah, the advice has really evolved over the years. So basically, you know, it's safe to exercise, but you just have to go with your own body. And I found that at 14 weeks into my pregnancy, I started getting some pelvic pain. So I actually started doing a lot of just water jogging or swimming sessions and the elliptical trainer from that point onwards. I think I continued to jog a little bit here and there through to about 30 weeks, but Billy flipped into the breech position at that point, and I was getting some nasty cramps, so I ended up having a C-section because he was in breech, so it meant my recovery was a bit different because I had to sort of recover from the operation. So I didn't really start jogging until around the six-week mark and just had to listen
very
to my
lazy
body and
yeah, come on,
that is undisciplined. Apparently, excuse maker, you don't train hard enough.
I know. apparently Billy came out running as well.
Oh,
when he was
God. Like,
ran around the hospital. So what's next, Jess? What are you going to run in now?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm feeling pretty fired up. Like, obviously, I'll have my recovery now, but it was just such a buzz on the weekend. I'm sort of wondering, yeah, what next year will look like. There's the World Championships in Oregon in July, and then 2 weeks later the Commonwealth Games in Birmingham. So for marathon runners, they'd have to pick one or the other.
Yep.
I can't imagine too many people running marathons 2 weeks apart. So they're potential options next year. But in the near future, the Melbourne Marathon's in mid-December. I think that one might be a little bit too soon to try and run, but we'll just see how the coming weeks go.
Now, Jess, just a quick question. I'm feeling very inadequate after listening to you talk about all your achievements. I struggle to run like 3Ks or more than that. Do you have any tips for someone who hits a wall, loses interest? Like, is there some sort of mental trick you can play? Like, what are your tips for like pushing through and keep going?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely like involving others. I have a big squad that I train with, and if I'm lacking motivation, I definitely, you know, will just message someone from the team and try and run with them.
I hate getting those messages from you, Jess. I can tell you. They don't answer it. Sorry, my phone was off. Yeah. I was busy.
And the other thing I do when I've got, you know, a 90-minute run to do on my own on a Wednesday morning and I'm just not really feeling up for it, I'll look for a good podcast and listen to that.
The Ruined Dits one.
Ruined Dits on Triple
B. That's right.
Good on you, Jess. It's a great performance. As we said, the fourth fastest ever by an Australian woman. Amazing. And to think you've done this when you've come back from having little Billy, it's an amazing. It means you've got some bigger runs and better runs coming not far away. So well done. Good on
you. Hopefully. Thank you.
There she is. Jessica Stenson here on Triple M. Early this morning, there was an ad on this very station, a plea to Stephen Marshall, our Premier, to please make Christmas Day a public holiday. Now, it falls on Saturday this year, and we are the only state, according to this ad that I heard, we're the only state in Australia where it isn't a public holiday, and that means that retail workers and pub workers, hospitality workers, won't get all the extras.
Yeah, that doesn't get delayed until the Monday, though.
So the Monday is the public holiday. So they're saying here that some retail workers could be $200 out of pocket. So I guess what you're saying is, well, if you work on the Monday, you'll get that extra day, won't you?
It's a bit of a substitute, but I don't totally understand how these worked it, so I'm not professing to get it right, but Friday night's a public holiday, part day public holiday, 7 to midnight, Saturday, no public holiday, but is on the Monday. Boxing Day / Proclamation Day is a public holiday.
Yep.
Which is, they have that on the Tuesday. So the Monday and the Tuesday, you both get public holidays. So it's 3.5 days of public holidays.
I suppose if you're the person that you only work on the Saturday and you're not rostered on those other days, you're saying, hang on, I'm missing out.
Yeah, and then if you put it out to, that's right. Yeah, you know, the Monday to Friday workers lose.
Yeah.
Or you said sad days lose.
Yeah. So if you wake up Christmas Day, 6 a.m. you think, I've got to work at the local OTR or at the, I don't know, the whatever, retail, hospitality. You're saying, so I'm working all day Christmas Day, whole families at home having their turkey, and I'm not getting penalty rates.
Mm.
That's the question.
Well, yeah, I haven't got the answer for you there.
No. Well, if we're the only state not doing it in Australia, I guess it would raise some eyebrows. What do you think about this? Will you be forced to work on Christmas Day? I'd love to hear from you. What do you think about this? 133353. Whether we should even pay penalty rates is another argument for another day, Roo, but it turns out that we will be the only state not paying it on Christmas Day. What do you think? 133353, give us a call for our best caller. How's this? Do you know the four-wheel drive adventure show and SA Boat and Fishing show is coming up? We've got a family pass, okay, for our best call. This is on from the 22nd to the 24th of October, so next week. So give us a ring. What do you think about this? Christmas Day, no penalty rates, 133353.
16 to 7.
Christmas Day, Roo, isn't a public holiday here in South Australia. We're the only state. So people are appealing to Stephen Marshall. In fact, there's an ad on Triple M you'll hear saying, come on, please make it a public holiday.
What do you think, Claudia from Ingle Farm?
Good morning. I think it's unfair. That's when I first heard it on the weekend when I was working, your ad.
Right. Okay. So Triple M getting it done. What sector do you work in?
Aged care.
Okay. What have you been told, Claudia?
Well, I haven't been told anything by work, but I don't think we're getting penalty rates. I'm working Christmas Day. But, you know, they've got the public holiday, on the Monday?
On the Monday. Yeah.
But I'm not rostered on the Monday. Yeah. And it's not Christmas on the Monday.
So you miss out.
I don't understand.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense, and it's really not fair. And I have written to him on Facebook,
but
I haven't got a reply.
Mm. Righto. Come on, Stephen. Get back to Claudia. Thanks for calling in, Claudia. I really feel for people that work on Christmas Day because it is a brilliant family day, isn't it?
It is.
It's the first year I won't be working on Christmas Day.
Really?
What are you, at the pub?
At the pub, yeah. Normally I'd be working on Christmas
Day.
And then at Blockbuster.
Haven't you been told? We need you to do a show here on Christmas Day.
With Tomo. Oh.
5 a.m. till midday. Are you available or not?
And you're not getting paid.
Well, I need to join a union, I think.
Let's go to Chandler's Hill. Craig, what do you think about this?
Hey, guys. I'll be a bit concerned as a non-retail worker that if they give the penalty rates on the Saturday and the public holiday on the Saturday, that I don't get a public holiday on the Monday. What's going to happen there?
Where do you work, Craig?
I just work in general office work and factory work, that type of stuff. So
So some people get it on the, it's delayed and there's a public holiday on the Monday, but in other states they're saying Saturday and Monday are both public holidays. But we have a public holiday on the Tuesday as well.
Yeah.
But Craig, if you work in an office, it means you'd have Monday off, wouldn't you, if it's public holiday?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But, I mean, what happens there? Do they get the penalty rates on the Saturday? And does anyone who works on the Monday get the penalty rates as well?
That's what they're arguing.
It's out of my league, like Craig, to be honest.
Well, like our previous caller, what she's saying is she's not rostered on Monday, so she misses out. So she's having to work Christmas Day for normal pay.
What do you say is the answer?
I reckon make it a public holiday.
Well, everything's double pay everywhere?
I think so. If you work Christmas Day, I think you should be looked after, yeah.
Monday people? Who are never usually rostered on sad days?
Yeah, right. You've got me there.
You want the business
to no, but don't everything. Make it. No, but I guess common sense would say don't make Monday a public holiday. Saturday's Christmas Day. If you're asking
people
to work,
that's what they do all the time. Like on New Year's Day, they put it on the Monday this year.
Yeah.
The holiday's on the Monday.
Yeah. It is double dipping a bit, isn't it?
And Australia Day, if it's on Saturday, it's on a Monday.
Yeah, but the Christmas Day is the day that everyone's doing the family thing.
Yeah.
So that should be the day that you get the penalty rates for. If you're missing out on actual Christmas Day, you know, stuff the people who, sorry, Craig, but like people are going to work on Christmas Day, they should be compensated.
Yeah, I think that's a bit of a special one on its own, isn't it? Let's go to Oakden. What do you think, Nigel?
Well, nothing's different. It's always been like this. Public holidays are not set on the weekend. They're always during the week.
Yep.
And at the end of the day, nobody's forcing anyone to work.
Oh,
if what you about don't want to work the day, you can say no.
What about just Christmas Day? You know, take away Australia Day and all the other public, Queen's Birthday and stuff like that. Is Christmas Day just that bit different, though?
It's, well, some people are deeply religious, so then you would go, what about Easter?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Fair,
you know
fair
what
point.
I mean? When you start setting variations, then everyone's going to have a view on a specific holiday. Like, I'm deeply Australian. I want Australia Day off.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you make a good point, Nigel. Where does it end? But I guess we all do think that Christmas Day is a bit of a special family day, but Nigel does make a good point. Righto, Roo, send someone off to the showgrounds this weekend. This is the boating and fishing and four-wheel drive adventure show family pass.
I'll give it to Monica at Para Hills. She's written to Stephen Marshall. That was her, wasn't it? Or not?
No, it wasn't. It was Claudia.
Claudia, sorry, Monica, you're not getting it. It was Claudia. Sorry.
You nearly had it, Monica.
Oh, mate.
Oof. Oh, bad luck, Monica.
Triple M's Ruined Dids for breakfast. That is 8-7.
Roo, why is there a shortage of doctors?
Well, I don't know, to be honest, but they're saying we've got a doctor shortage and they're offering massive money to try and get doctors to go out to regions. And I know from my connections in the country that there has been a shortage for quite a while, and not just a shortage, but a shortage of quality as well, which is just as bad, because you last thing you want when you go to the doctor is to have a little bit of doubt about how good they are or what they're telling you to do. I mean, when you go
to someone you've never met before.
Yeah, that happens all the time. What you want when you go to the doctor is confidence that they know exactly what is wrong with you. They know exactly how to fix you, and you've got a certain amount of trust in it. And that is not happening like it used to years and years ago.
Now, Loz, some of your friends that you would have gone through uni with, I'm told now that kids can get scores of 99 in year 12 and, you know, ridiculously high scores and miss out on medicine.
Yeah.
What's the story?
My cousin, her dad's a doctor, and that, like, the family of doctors, and she got way up there, really, really high, like in the 98, 99s, and didn't get in because of that year the scaling was so extreme. So that was very disappointing. She would have been a brilliant doctor. Now she's a nurse and she does amazing things and works regionally, actually. But she would have been an incredible doctor.
Why don't they just broaden it and have more? If we're short on doctors, why don't we train more doctors? That simple?
I would have thought.
Well, I mean, I guess that it takes so long. It's so taxing and grueling to become a doctor. And if you have a case where not enough people are joining or becoming doctors in like a 10-year period, then that really, you end up with a lag for about 15, 20 years.
Yeah, but Loz, I'm hearing stories about there's this thing called the UMAT test or something. Mm-hmm. People listening will know exactly what it is. I don't understand it, but you miss out because your personality's not right.
Yeah.
So you can get 99.9, but oh, we don't think you've got the wrong personality to be a doctor. Well, let the individual make that call.
No, but more to do with mental health or being able to handle pressure or that sort of stuff?
Yeah, but again, isn't that up to you and I? I mean, if we want to make that call, that decision, surely that's up to us.
What, if we go to the doctor?
Going to a doctor that's not personality.
If you go to that doctor and you don't like his or her personality, you don't go again.
But what if he's unfit to be a doctor?
Roo, when you and I decide we want to work at Triple M, you either get the job or you don't. You don't sit and go, but what about,
They do when you do AFL head coaches.
When you're employing someone. So, yeah, but what I'm saying, Roo, that's you as a club and as a board. You can say, we don't think this bloke's right. When you're a kid entering a university, surely, if you've studied and said, I want to do medicine, isn't that your right and your choice if you achieve the marks?
Yeah. The one thing that I'm hearing from a couple of different people is that we train a lot of internationals at unis, and I think the unis get a lot more money from the internationals than they do for the South Australians. Yep. All right.
Right.
So let's just use some figures, and don't quote me on these numbers, but you might get 70,000 to train a international doctor a year or for the course, whatever it is, and you might get 25 for South Aussie. And the internationals come and they do their course, and then they might have to work for a small amount of time, and then they bugger off to wherever they go, hence the shortage. Whereas if we trained more locals and they stayed here, there wouldn't be the shortage. So that's what I'm hearing.
Pre-COVID, weren't we told that it's our biggest industry?
Yes. International. It's a billion-dollar industry.
Yeah. Yes. Yep.
But that's what I'm saying. They're saying brain drain in the paper, but it might be because we're training the interstate as internationals.
I mean, you follow the dollar. I mean, how do they make the most money? And that's probably what's going on.
I don't like I don't like that idea that you can tell young kids, no, you're not fit to be a doctor. I think they've got to find that journey. They go on that journey and find out.
But it's like when you join the police force, you've got to go through a whole bunch of psychological tests, analysis to say whether you have the certain kind of aptitude and capacity as a person. Not necessarily that you're intelligent enough, but can you handle it if someone holds a gun to your head? Can you handle it if you're in the middle of surgery?
Don't you watch SAS Australia?
Yeah. No, but you are joining an organisation, right? Yeah. And I think that organisation has the right to say, we don't think you're fit to be a police officer.
Yeah.
As an individual, if you go, forget medicine, what if I go to the uni and say, I want to be a physics researcher?
Sure.
And they go, we don't think you're right for that.
Well, you're right. It is
not your choice.
Because then once they get out into the world,
what if there's only so many that they can train, though, and they don't want to educate someone that's not going to make it?
Well, top marks get in, don't they? It's still a requirement. You've got to still be smart enough and get the marks.
133353, do you know why we've got a doctor's shortage? Have you got kids that have been trying to get into it? Have you experienced this? Because it just doesn't seem right. We've got that many kids that go to uni. We talk about it all the time. We've got that many people overqualified to do a lot of other jobs. Why can't we just afford to train more doctors that are going to have a higher proportion of staying here as well?
Good question. Why is there a shortage of doctors? 133353.
I've got Graham on Fulham.
Graham on Fulham.
From Fulham on the line. Good morning, Graham.
Yeah, good morning. How are you?
What's the answer, Graham?
Mate. Lack of students coming over from overseas.
Yeah, but that's only happened in the last 1 or 2 years. Surely that doesn't equate to a shortage. We've had a shortage for ages.
Yeah, well, yeah, it has died off a little bit, though. So, I mean, that hasn't helped because a lot of your doctors and that, most majority of over here are foreign.
Yeah.
They are. All right.
It'll definitely even hurt later on. It might even make it worse in the future. Let's go to Strathalbyn. James, you got the answer for us why there's a doctor shortage?
No, I want to get back to Ditz not understanding what a psych evaluation is.
Yep.
Has he not seen the show Dr. Death? The bloke was a genius, ended up cutting people up.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, so we can
eradicate
the Dr. Death of this world. That was a TV show. Oh, no, actually, it was a real story, wasn't it? It was a real story, so, Duff. So all right, James, you win.
Jeez, you gave up quickly.
No, I can't. There's nowhere I can go with that one.
I never thought about it from the serial killer perspective. I was just thinking, oh, can you
simple question
ER?
When you get to uni, are you a potential serial killer? Yes, go down that corridor. Yeah. No, go down that corridor. Yeah, we've sorted it, James. There's a red zone and a green zone.
Head to the backyard.
Are you a serial killer?
Are we taking
killer?
More calls or are we moving on? Yes, we are. 133353.
Why have we got a shortage of doctors here in South Australia? Vicky at Huntfield Heights, what's the answer?
Well, morning, Dids. Morning, Roo and team. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Um, Yeah, well, my daughter's 23. She got ducks of her college. She scored over 98%. Sat the UMAT here in Adelaide twice. Didn't get in. And then spoke to her uni friends and said, look, hang on, why don't I visit in Melbourne and just mix it up a little bit? Flew to Melbourne, had to pay for accommodation, all the rest of it. Still didn't get a look in after three actual shots.
Now, Vicky, this is what I'm talking about. Why? Is it explained to her why she failed the UMAT?
Yeah, it's all around basically psychology and also suitability. She's a clever uni student that went on and did a Bachelor of Medical Science. Now she's doing speech path and loving it. But at the end of the day, our regions are calling out for doctors and even our local surgeries.
Are they using this as an excuse because there's only so many spots in the course, or is this, do you think it's the UMAT thing for the psychology and stuff is genuine?
I reckon it's the dollars as well, Bruce.
Yeah, well, that's what I've been told. They're getting a hell of a lot more money, the unis, for training internationals and a lot less for locals, so there's just not as many spots.
Now, Vicky, sorry, what did you say your daughter's doing now?
She's doing speech pathology.
Speech pathology. So she's clearly psychologically okay to do that, but she's not psychologically okay to be a doctor.
Went down the whole Bachelor of Medical Science pathway just to be able to open those extra doors.
Right. Yeah. This is what I'm talking about.
Well, you can get there. You just have to go the long way. Oh, and it's like,
for God's sake,
you shouldn't be able to do that if you
Let's go to Hallett Cove. Ben, what do you think?
Well, there's a few things. Firstly, there should be a percentile brought in by the university. They have to hire locally schooled kids.
Yep.
You know, in the days you had people coming in from overseas that were
just getting your phone right, and Benny. It's just a bit wobbly, mate.
They had kids coming in from overseas and the parents were buying houses and flipping houses and then we didn't have to pay for the education because they sold the house 3 years later.
All right. Good on you, Ben. Let's go to Anne at Aberfoyle Park. Good morning, Anne. What do you think?
Hi. I was just talking about the UMAT thing as well.
Yep.
From what I know from my son when he went through uni, it's actually not just about how smart a person is. It's actually about their suitability to be a doctor. So you need to have somebody who is compassionate, understanding. You find a lot of people who are really smart are also a bit nerdy and lack the correct social skills. So that,
But do you think that's fair, Anne?
Well, you can't have a doctor who doesn't have, you know, is not in touch with their patients, you know, can't disseminate the information correctly. Like, they're using all the really, you know, big words, but they can't bring it down to the right level of, you know, your common or garden person.
All right. Yep.
No worries, Anne.
Fair point.
Makes sense. Let's go to Aldinga. What do you think, Carl?
Yeah. Good morning. How are we today?
Good, Carl.
That's good. Now, as a male suffers from mental health issues, the thing that I have trouble with is getting into psychologists and psychiatrists. Now, I just think that there's been a lot of pressure put on the industry due to COVID, which does make it hard. But at the end of the day, they should be making spots available for people who have like chronic mental health issues and be able to deal with that rather than, you know, it's a 3+ month wait to get into any form of professional. Yeah.
3 months. So there's a shortage to get into with issues that you're suffering, and there's a shortage to get into just about everything.
Wow.
The sounds of it.
Gee, 3 months. Yeah. That's nowhere near enough.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly right. Yeah. And I've gone through a separation, and I've got a business to run, most of the 3 months was just for a psychologist. Now, for a psychiatrist, I have not been in contact with one psychiatrist that is even willing to put you on their books at all.
Because they're so busy.
Yeah.
They're so busy. And that's a shame, especially, I don't know, I just feel like maybe my life kind of turned to poo at the wrong time, which is unfortunate. But now I'm looking at excessive wait times to get a diagnosis and get all these things sorted. Now, it's just sad.
No, that's
we
not
feel
good,
for
Carl.
You, Carl. And look, thanks for ringing in and sharing it with us. But that's a terrible situation over 3 months.
Yeah, that's a pretty standard thing at the moment.
If you or someone you know needs someone to talk to or needs to reach out for help in the meantime, you can call places like Beyond Blue, 1300 224636.
A country caller has just called in and said that doctors don't want to go to the bush because they don't have the resources at those clinics, Roo.
Which would be very frustrating. if you're going out and you can't help, you go all the way out there and you can't help people properly because you don't have the tools there. Mm. So it seems like we need more money in the industry a little bit.
All right,
don't
there you go.
Build a $700 million stadium.
That's right.
Triple M. Ladies. Delving deep inside the mystery and wonder of the female mind.
The women run the country.
It's Ruined Tits Angels.
Rue, we've got Mel the button pusher on the phone. We've got Loz and Sophia in the studio. Loz, good morning. What is your topic for today?
So my friend and her partner, they've been together for about a year. They were driving in the car. He was driving and shock horror needed directions because he didn't know where he was going. And she didn't want to go and grab her phone. So she just grabbed his and said, "What's the password?"
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Oh, just use your phone."
Mm.
And she went, it's in the bottom of my bag. Just give me your password.
Just use yours. I don't want you knowing my code.
What do you mean you don't want me knowing your code?
Kidding.
So he's like, I don't like knowing each other's codes. I don't want to know yours. You don't know mine. We just have our own phones. It feels weird.
What are you trying to hide?
What? And then she's, why can't I even look at it? Like, what's the point? Blah, 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 blah. So she was talking to me about it and I was like, I don't know. I think maybe I'm on his team here because I don't like people knowing my code either.
Why?
I don't know because I just feel like we have so little privacy in our lives that it's just the last semblance of my own space is on here. This is my little port. I have nothing to hide, but I just...
Sure.
Mm. Yeah.
Come sound like it.
Come on.
It's a clandestine lifestyle that you're leading.
I think, you know, if you look at someone like my parents, they know each other's pins and everything. You know, they've been together for so long that there's nothing left to hide.
They don't need their own little bit of privacy?
Well, look, you know, they go for their drives and no one asks questions.
Oh, right. Right, Sophia.
Go for a drive, Kat.
From the newsroom. Sophia, you are getting married when?
October next year.
How long have you been with your man?
Almost 8 years.
Right.
It's been a while.
How secretive?
No, I think definitely you need to know each other's passwords.
Right, okay.
I think it's more of a trust thing. If you don't, it's like, what have you got to hide? That's shady business going on
there.
But it's not even for anything. More of a convenience thing exactly for that. If it's just near me, I can just, you know, quickly, you know, swipe the Apple wallet.
Right.
I'm kidding.
Right. Mel's giggling on the phone. Mel, where do you stand on this?
No, you absolutely shouldn't know each other's passwords.
Oh, come on,
what have you got to hide, Mel?
Nothing. It's not about being secretive. It's just you are not one half of a whole. You are a whole person who is entitled to have private conversations with your friends, your family, your colleagues. You do not need to have your partner having access to every aspect of everything that goes on in your brain.
Right.
Yeah, but they're not unlocking your phone and then scrolling through all your messages and everything.
Who
knows? That's a whole separate issue. That is what's
well,
that's
in, yeah, in
unethical.
This instance, in this instance where the girl just needed access to maps, I think the fella's being a little bit pedantic. I mean, Danny does have my... I say that we shouldn't have each other's passcodes, but Danny does have mine because I'm extraordinarily boring. That he can't
What is your password, by the way?
No.
1111.
You're definitely not having it. You're the person who shouldn't have it. Danny's fine.
I think... sorry, Mel, you go on.
No, you go.
I was going to say, I think with Sophia, you've been together for so long and, you know, the convenience element. But I think in the early stages of a relationship, there is that sort of... You still don't really know if this person's a psycho yet.
Oh, well, give it that
well, what a good way to
months.
Find out.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, that's just go through point. The phone and see if there's any messages.
She hasn't even farted in front of him yet. You
After
know,
12
like, so,
months.
Yeah, so why would she have his passcode?
Yeah, well, maybe that's the barometer, isn't
it?
Yeah,
little steps. Drop a silent one first and then, and then get into the
handle.
All right, thanks, Angels.
Thank you.
Thank you.
104.7 Triple M's $10,000 vault.
Okay, there are four digits. You just need to get them in the right order. That's all you have to do, and you win $10,000. So, Rue, we started yesterday.
Yep.
That was a 1 in 24 chance.
Yep.
Incorrect answer. We're down to 1 in 23. Have I got that right?
That's exactly right, Dits. And you can go to the listener app and find out what that answer was yesterday. Let's go to Campbelltown. Gina, have you done your research?
Oh, well, I'm trying, yeah.
What do you mean trying? You either have or you haven't.
He's a hard marker, Gino. Sorry, mate.
You're right.
You're all right, mate. Well, what are you? What are your digits?
Well, I'm going to go with 1589.
1589. Let's feed this
into the computer. I've got some good news for you. That wasn't used yesterday.
Yeah, that's right. So this is for $10,000. So 1589.
He is 1 in 23 chance.
Yeah, okay. Let's feed this into the computer. Will this open the vault?
1589. Pin. Incorrect.
Oh, I thought he'd bloody won there.
Sorry, Gino.
That's Gino, I thought sorry, you'd won mate. The cash.
Gee.
So did I. Can I have half of me?
You got a good sense of humour, Gino. You have a great day, mate.
So we're down to 1 in 22.
Mm. Mm. 1 in 22.
Ooh.
Cool.
Now, where will we find these guesses? On the Listener app,
on the Listener app, the Ruined Its podcast right. after the show.
We've eliminated two combinations. We're down to 22.
Right.
All right.
Oh, well. Good stuff. What about Prince William? He's come out with a new prize, a new way to try and help climate change. Very, very big topic all over the world at the moment. We know ScoMo's under pressure to get to net zero by 2050. Well, at the moment, he's announcing a new prize called Earthshot, and they're giving away five winners every year. They get $1 million each to come up with the best way to try and find solutions to save the planet. And it started, they had the launch of it last night. It was all to do with, it was run by pedal power. So they had so, people on
what
bikes.
Do you mean? What do you mean?
On
well,
bikes?
It was carbon neutral, I suppose.
Yeah.
So they didn't have generators and fuel and all that sort of stuff. They were powered by athletes.
Right.
Unless the athletes farted while they were cycling, there was no emissions.
Well, right. Exactly right. They started off, I think they had Alex Porter just cruising along. Let's have
our
a listen.
Our boy Alex.
Yeah, he was here last week. Experience, he was going mate. Along. This is Coldplay. They were performing live there.
And it was being powered by...
Whoop, hang on.
Yeah.
Did you get on there?
What I don't think Alex could make it.
Dits
was on the bike.
What about when Lance Armstrong got on the bike? What did it sound like then?
All right.
That's when he was juiced up, winning all the Tour de France's. Yeah, there you go.
Oh,
Dits,
no.
You reckon your chance to win $1 million?
Doing what?
Stuff coming for the climate.
No chance.
Loz?
Yeah, I mean, I don't do it. My climate footprint is petite because I'm poor. So I can't. Yeah, lie or...
You've seen the smoke that comes out the back
what
of your car.
What do you think
car?
Of Prince William?
What do I think of him?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's all right. He's all, you know, very repressed. But yeah.
Very repressed?
Yeah.
What do you mean repressed?
What do you mean?
My wife reckons he's all right.
Well, he's married to a beautiful lady. Bloke. She wouldn't be repressing him.
No. I just think the royals are a little bit repressed. They're a little bit stuffy. But I think that he's a good one. And I was very in love with him when he was a young Princeton, you know, with the shock of blonde hair. And now he's kind of morphed into one of the uncles. But, you know, he's doing great things for the environment.
They wore clothes from 20 years ago. Did you see that?
Did they?
Yeah.
Yep.
Old clothes.
Doing their bit for the environment.
From savers?
Can I say one of the harshest slams I've ever heard in my life is, and they've kind of turned into their uncle.
I reckon that is savage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, how good is it when you find a little bit of money in your pocket when you put on a set of pants or something? I had this happen to me yesterday. I pulled on a pair of your old shorts. I hadn't worn them for a little while because it's summertime.
Yeah. Last summer.
Cash.
Really?
How much? A little bit of cash. Oh, can't say, but it's worth finding.
In little like shorts.
Might have been a little punting day that just chucked them in the bottom drawer.
Was
and,
it like a tip or how did your little shorts get money in them?
Well, because I just must have chucked them in the drawer. I should have probably washed them.
Yeah, probably.
Someone paid me an invoice from 9 months ago the other day that I'd forgotten about. $350 just straight in the account. See, I can say how much it was.
Mine wasn't even that much, but, you know.
You've got the mob boss vibe.
No.
Don't
definitely
be asking
not.
Questions
no,
about my money.
No. I don't want them breaking into my house. So $350 straight in the skyrocket. But even when you find $50, you just go, whoa.
Oh, yeah. That's a good little bonus.
It's beautiful.
Usually in your jeans you find it, don't you?
Yeah.
Gold.
Yeah.
Hey, what did you said you found a...
Yeah, I got a tax return and put some of it in the back of where I keep all my, you know, birth certificates and stuff like that. Completely
put
forgot about it.
Where you
why
put
did
your
you
birth
do that?
Certificate?
I just thought, I'll I'll put it somewhere where I forget. So I was going through trying to find my birth certificate.
You'll put it somewhere where you forget.
No, no.
Why would you do that?
No, and I did. And then I'm flicking through and then I've gone, hang on a minute, that looks like a bunch of 50s. Pulled it out. Mate, I was singing, dancing. I was high-fiving myself as I was. Mate,
I'm sensing whiskey straight after.
Yeah, my if I got it written on my forehead, have a look.
Yes,
no, you're spot on.
Yeah, good stuff.
Love finding money.
Storm Brewing at the Adelaide Football Club, Roo, with one of your AFLW players, who is Danny Van Hagen, who is saying she doesn't want to get vaxxed, or she's not sure, if she wants to get vaxxed.
Yeah.
Now, it turns out she works in the medical...
She's a nurse.
Yeah, she's a nurse.
How?
They have to get jabbed by November 1st of November, otherwise they can't do their job.
Yeah. So
she's got a couple of decisions to make.
She has. So what happens at the moment? Is she still allowed to train? When do their games start? What's the story?
Yeah, well, I'm not exactly sure what the dates are. I don't think the AFL has actually mandated yet. They certainly have in Victoria. You have to be jabbed over there for some sports, like racing last week. Peter Moody, who we had on yesterday, he lost 3 staff out of his stable because they chose not to get vaccinated.
Mm.
So the racing in Victoria lost 35 people last week. In AFLW, I guess they're not making a huge amount of money. So if you are deadly opposed to it, you might make the choice not to get vaccinated and not play.
Mm.
I think that'll be a different story in the men's competition, where the average wage is closer to $400,000.
Yep.
You're going to have to be pretty strong to say, well, I'm not getting jabbed and I'm not going to get paid. It's a bigger decision to make there, isn't it?
If you're a player on $400,000, $500,000, $600,000, $700,000 a year, Roo, and hypothetically they come to your club and say, I don't want to get vaxxed, what rights does your club have?
I'm not sure how it's going to end up happening, but I've got a little bit of information that they'll probably put themselves in a position where they won't be able to fulfil their contract, so therefore they won't get paid.
Okay.
Because, for instance, you can't play interstate if you're not vaccinated.
Mm. Yeah.
That's right.
So, therefore, you're not doing everything.
We know that Qantas has already said you will not fly. Oh, both have said you will not fly with us next year if you're not vaxxed. So, if there are anti-vaxxers within the AFL, they won't be playing.
Yeah.
Well, and it's already happened with truckies. And there's not enough trucks on the road because of this at the moment. They're terrible. There's issues with that. Police, aged care, nurses, truckies, sport.
Roo, how strong is the AFL Players Association? And I ask you this for a reason. I don't want to be an alarmist here, but I am being quite serious. Years gone by, we've seen strikes in America. Baseball, for example, went on strike. The players' union's very, very strong.
Mm-hmm.
Would there be? And I've heard people who I rate very, very intelligent, sensible people, like Tom Jonas, for example, captain of Port Adelaide, has said, "Oh, you shouldn't really be forcing players if they don't want to." Tom McDonald from Melbourne.
You don't have to force them, but they just won't be playing.
Tom McDonald from Melbourne yesterday has come out and said, "Oh, I think it's unethical that they've forced us to get the jab." How strong will the players be on this?
Oh, I don't think there's any chance of a strike myself, but I might be wrong.
Mm. Well, let's hope not. Let's hope it doesn't go down.
Because they know
path.
Full well if they don't do it, there's no industry. There's no AFL competition.
Mm. Yep. Okay.
So there's no job, no income, and I don't think too many of the players would want that.
No.
Or supporters.
Yeah. No, well, I agree with you.
Mm. But totally. You're going to hear more about it. People are going to make decisions, whether they're in racing, nursing, aged care, or whatever. So, watch this space.
Our Premier Stephen Marshall launched this quite a few months ago, saying that he wants to build a new Riverbank Stadium, Roo, down where all of the other building has been taking place, down where the hospitals are and all of that. And a lot of us are saying, well, why? We've got an entertainment centre that's adequate. We've got a magnificent convention centre down there in North Terrace already that does great business.
Yeah. Is it really needed? Does it really stack up? I mean, basketball's moved to the entertainment centre and is going very well there, but they don't fill it out every week.
No.
Yes, they've had bigger crowds and it's great. I think it's been a big win for basketball from what I understand. I don't follow it super closely, but I think they've had bigger and better crowds than ever before. Do they need a bigger stadium? Would it be better in a new stadium? Yeah, it would be. Like, everyone's going to go to a new stadium just for the sake of going to a new $700 million stadium. But is it needed for basketball? I reckon there'd be a question mark on that, wouldn't there?
Yeah.
For music concerts, what do we get? How many people at Entertainment Centre?
I think it's 12,000 capacity.
Mm. This is talking 15,000. Is that enough of a difference to justify for big acts to come to Adelaide?
Well, Without being a naysayer as well, those that talk about ramping and talk about our hospitals, I would seriously be ploughing money into that sort of stuff. I really would.
More hospital beds.
I think so.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know. I've just this thing's never really quite never come to me like, yeah, this is a good idea, or yes, this is needed.
Well, some concert promoters are now coming out and saying you definitely need this in Adelaide, and so they're pushing for it. So does 3,000? Now you've been a concert promoter,
but
there's 3,000 extra seats. Does that make a big difference?
Well, but isn't the major issue the fact that Adelaide people just don't buy tickets until the last minute?
Correct.
That's what I understand. It's
correct.
It's not that we haven't got the capacity at concert.
That's right.
Like we've had AC/DC, we've had all the big bands at Adelaide Oval.
Rolling Stones.
A lot of those concerts were only getting sort of 30,000. Yep. There's a lot of free tickets given away. It's the fact that Adelaide's actually not big enough or wants to spend the money,
I think. That's right.
Yes, they'll get more to a new stadium that's purpose-built and better sound than Adelaide Oval and stuff like that. But I think I'm not sure that the 2,500 extra seats is the reason why they'd come.
Is it $700 million? Is that what he wants to spend?
That's what they're saying it'd cost. That's more than what Adelaide Oval cost to rebuild.
I know.
Adelaide Oval was 535.
Yeah.
That is used every single week for about 25 weeks of the year, and then a few weeks over summer.
Mm. $175,000 on average is the difference between say 13,000 at the Entertainment Centre and like 15,000. To the new stadium. So for a promoter and for, you know, people that are putting it on, it's actually quite financially feasible for them. So just to add that little bit extra in it, and that's per concert as well, $175,000 on average.
Yeah.
But you still got to pay off 700 and whatever
that's
million.
That's absolutely true.
They don't have to. The government's just going
to
cough it up.
To.
Yeah, yeah. The taxpayer does. So I don't know. It's a, and you know what? I don't feel like he's got much support from the public. I certainly don't speak to people and go, that's needed.
Nah.
I mean, obviously the concert promoters do because they live off it, and that's fair enough. They should push as hard as they can, just like the football people and the cricket people did for Adelaide Oval. So I totally get the concert promoters' argument. And whoever's in charge of basketball, if you can get a free stadium, go for it.
Good on you.
But is it the number one priority in South Australia at the moment for $700 million?
Don't think so.
Probably not.
Ruin Dits Overnight Sports.
Adelaide Crow, Matt Crouch has had more surgery, Roo. What's the story?
Just wasn't quite feeling right after the last time, so they went and had another look and decided to do a full operation. So, look, I think this is probably a good thing, Dits, to get it done and make sure they cover all bases, and you can recover reasonably quickly from this. And his brother is a classic example. I think he came back and won the best and fairest, and same thing happened with me after mine. So you can come back bigger and stronger and get rid of it. You cannot play good AFL football with sore groins.
Yep, all right, so it's groin surgery. Now, you might remember he just signed a two-year extension on his contract last month. Now, Crows AFLW player Denny Van Hagen has been in the news over the last couple of days. She was back training last night after revealing she'd told the club she wasn't ready to get a COVID-19 vaccination. Now, the 28-year-old says she's not been able to make an informed choice. Now, interestingly, she works as a nursery as well, and the issue is expected to come to a head soon because SA Health, they're ruling that all medical staff must receive their first dose by November the 1st. Now, Nicole Livingston is in charge of the AFLW. Let's hear from her.
Is going to make it much easier to be an athlete if you are vaccinated. If anybody feels like playing a sport during a global pandemic is not for them, then I have to respect that as well.
So if she's either probably going to get the vaccine and play, or if she chooses not to, she's probably not going to be able to. Reading between the lines, and she's not going to be able to be a nurse either. So. She's going
to... Big choice to make.
It's a big career change. But lots of people are doing that. We talked about this is what happened in racing in Victoria because the government have mandated it in the racing industry that happened. And we know what's already happened with police and aged care and nurses in other sectors. So it's just becoming just about in every sector, isn't it? So.
All right. Other club news around the AFL. The Tigers, Richmond have re-signed Sydney Stack and Ben Miller. Kangaroos have delisted Sean Attlee and Trent Dumont, the South Australian boy, which we knew about a week or two back, wants to come home. In the Sheffield Shield, the Redbacks dug in to secure a draw against Queensland, but we got first innings points. Jay Carter made 79, Alex Carey 66 not out. Greg Blewett on the Rush Hour yesterday said that the Aussies are messing around with Alex Carey. He could be the next Adam Gilchrist. Now, that's a huge thing for Bluey to say.
Right, well, he'd know.
Yeah, he certainly would. Meanwhile, the SAC is pushing ahead for full capacity at the Adelaide Oval for the Ashes test, which is in 8 weeks' time.
That'd be a big result if they got that. I think that's unlikely, isn't it?
Well, we need to reach our 80% target of double vaccination. Now, at the moment, we're at 58.7%.
I don't think that's
a long way to go.
Yep.